And we're here with the What Do You Think program for today, and I'm Russ Servance, and I have Kiara here from Thumb Cares. Otherwise, you might know it as 211. Mm-hmm. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Russ?
Good. You want to tell us a little bit about what Thumb Cares is?
So thumbcares.org, which is a website, is actually a partnership with 211 and the TCHP, which is a Thumb Community Health Partnership. So they did a lot of survey work in the community and discovered that one of the things that seemed to be just this enormous barrier was people knowing where to go and get services, right? Where to find those resources that meet your most basic needs. And 211 actually has their responsibility, actually straight from the state, is to take care of all those resources, to combine them, put them in a database. Oh, yeah, for sure. So we cover 24 counties in Northeast Michigan, including the Thumb, and we have over 3,000 different services that we maintain throughout that.
Wow.
Yeah, throughout that. That's just our region. Like, we're not even touching, like, Detroit or, you know, some of those other areas.
So you don't do that much, then?
No. I don't actually personally do that part, but I'm the executive director, so I get to do more of this kind of fun stuff. But we have a great team that takes care of that. So they came to us, and they said, you know what? We're not going to create, if what people want is the resources, it makes no sense for us to create a new list if you're already spending literally 5,000 hours a year maintaining that list. And so we actually did something kind of innovative and the first of its kind in the state, and it's actually been held up as a great model, especially for more rural spaces, which is we provide the resources and they provide kind of the context of, like, now it feels like this belongs to the Thumb, right? It belongs to this area. It reflects the needs of this area.
It truly does.
Yeah, and what's really needed there. And it is just such a beautiful collaboration, right? We share it. We promote it. We talk about it together.
Now, I know just because of the research I've done on Thumb Cares, 211, what are some of the resources that are available? People just are calling about or may need help with that they're not aware there's even help out there.
Yeah, so really the three, I would say that from this region, we get around 500 calls per month, unless there's some kind of an emergency or a surge of some kind for a need. And what exactly people need will vary throughout the year. We do see a dip in the amount of calls that we receive over the summer because most people, I've learned that. I'm new to Michigan. I've only lived here 2 years, but I've learned that during the summer, everyone just stays outside.
Yes.
All summer long. They just stay outside all weekend. So we have less calls during the summer. But primarily, 70% of our total calls are related to utility payment assistance of some kind, housing payment assistance of some kind, whether that's mortgage or rent payment assistance, or food. So about 70% of the total calls that we get from this region are related to those three things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So those are the reasons that people mostly call. And I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with it is rent is going up, right? The amount that people are paying for utilities
are
going up. Food is going up. The cost of those things is going up. And, you know, the wages just aren't maintaining it.
Right.
Right. They're just not staying with it. And kind of to pull an example from my own life, my husband, he is a blue collar worker, right? He works at a Lowe's in Midland, and he has always just been in retail sales, you know, since he first got married a long time ago, not to me, to someone else, but to someone else a long time ago. And when he started working, that kind of job could take care of his family, right? 38 years ago, like, he could do that. And now you just can't, right? And those are the kind of jobs that are hanging out here in the Thumb. You've got a lot of people doing factory work and farm work and sale, you know, working in retail. The people who drive the foundation of our community can no longer make all their ends come together with the way that things are economically.
It can definitely be challenging, to say the least.
For sure. Like, most families are two-income families now. You know, we are, you know, just to make all of it work. And then I would say some people are surprised. Like, a lot of people ask, well, what about transportation? Is transportation a problem? A lot of people don't call us about transportation because the options are limited, right? If it's non-medical transportation, there's limited options. There's right. not a lot of Uber.
No, not
out here, or taxis. And then the problems that you have with like county transportation is that they don't cross the county line without some, you know, some sort of magical tricks. Or I think sometimes they can work it out, like they make an exchange, you know, like. But that makes it hard. Nobody's doing anything wrong. It's just the rules that they have to live by right. for the funding that they get. And that can make it hard because, as we all know, I mean, I live over in Midland area. And, I mean, I do not do all my shopping, and where I worship and where I live and where I work is not all just in Midland County, right? It crosses over into the other areas of the Great Lakes Bay region. And that's true here as well, right? Like right. if you're going to go to the doctor, or you're going to go to Walmart, or you're going to go to Lowe's, say yep. that again, you have to go somewhere that's not where you are.
Exactly.
Right. And I think that that poses a bit of a, so transportation is higher in this area than in other areas we cover. It's about 7% of okay. our total calls. But again, there's not too much that we can do, right? Like somebody might call, I think an example might be that they had a ride set up to go to a doctor's appointment in another county. And like, let's say they needed to go to Tuscola, we're hearing right now.
Right.
And the person backed out at the last minute, they still need a ride. There's nothing yeah. we can do for that because there aren't any systems in place to do that. So,
okay.
yeah. So, but I would say that what we try to do is not so much like if you give us a call, that 211 is just a number that you dial like 911. We're there 24/7. You can also text 898-211, or you can get on our website, either at Thumb Cares or at 211NE, like northeastmichigan.org. And there's a chat feature that pops up immediately. And you can chat with anybody, again, 24/7, also in 180 languages.
Oh, wow.
So we use a language line. But you were talking about finding those resources. Sorry. I think one of those things is we find what's available for you, right? We keep track of all of those resources, really try to be as comprehensive as possible about what's available human services-wise. And so if you call and have a conversation with us or do that search on thumbcares.org, you're going to find what is available, right? What is there? And unfortunately, sometimes what people need or what they think they need isn't always there.
I was going to say, you probably do more of like an interview conversation mm-hmm. to figure out yep. what needs they might have that they're not even expressing.
Yeah.
And try to help them with those as well.
Yeah. Long time ago when I was still on calls, I did used to take calls. There was actually an example of someone that called me, and I ended up taking the call, and she was determined that what she needed was gas money. And I started having a conversation with her, and because there's not too many places that you can get gas cards or gas money, you know, right. to be able to do that. And so I started talking to her, and I found out that what was happening is she was 60 years old. She had been a CNA, a nursing assistant, her entire career, and had lost her job and was trying to find another CNA option at 60, right? It's a very physical job. My stepdaughter's a CNA. It's a very, very physical job. And I think that there were just a lot of people that weren't looking for a 60-year-old CNA. But when she called us, she had determined that as long as she could get some gas cards, she could get to these interviews and she could get a job. Well, in the process of the conversation, I discovered that she'd been eating ramen for 2 weeks and hadn't had anything else, that she hadn't been able to pay her rent and was on the verge of losing her apartment. So there were more pressing issues, right, that needed to be addressed before we talked about the gas card situation. And then in that conversation, after providing her with resources for food and for rent payment assistance, I actually made a referral to a program that existed in the area I was living in through Easter Seals, where they did, it was senior vocational rehabilitation. So it was for people like of a certain age. You and yeah. I are probably in a certain age area.
Yeah,
don't drag me there. But, you know, that had very physical jobs that their bodies just couldn't do anymore, right? When you start getting into your 50s, 60s, and you're still trying, you know, you're not retiring, but you still need to have income, like, you can't work that stand all day factory job. You can't be a CNA. And so this program was actually something that existed to help people who were in that older area, the 55 and older, you know, say, be able to find another job to rehabilitate vocationally, is what they call it.
And that's awesome, because I think when we're focused on getting a job, because that'll take care of the rent and the gas and everything else, we're focused on one thing and not the whole picture.
Yeah.
It's good to know there are resources mm-hmm. out there to help us with those things before we even get to what mm-hmm. we're looking for.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. And sometimes you have a lot of, because people are naturally kind of problem solvers, is that they will come to us with, well, this is the solution that I've already come up with, right? This is what I need. So like another call I took with someone called and said, I need $5,000. And we're like, okay, yes, so do we all, right? But mm-hmm. but they were behind on their mortgage, and they figured that if someone could just give them $5,000, they could catch up on their mortgage and they would be fine. Well, nobody just gives you $5,000 to catch up on your mortgage, but there are programs that can help you to be able to work with the bank to get a, you know, to get a caught up on your mortgage, and then talk about like a refinance, or the bank doesn't want you to lose your home any more than you do, right? It's no right. good for them either. And so, you know, trying to make that referral to what we can do as opposed to what people think that they might have or the solution that they've come to us with. One thing I will throw out there is like one of the things that's easiest for us to get is food. And but as humans, the things that we want to do is we want to spend the money. If you have $500 and you're facing rent in 2 weeks and a utility payment in 3 weeks, but you need food now, you're going to spend that money on food. Yeah. But we can get food. Food doesn't require very much eligibility.
I was going to say, you probably yeah. help kind of reprioritize
yeah,
things so
exactly.
that I need rent money.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to cut back on my food. But freeing up the money from the mm-hmm. food will help you get the rent
yep.
money. So you're helping to kind of reprioritize where they're spending their money
yes,
to
exactly.
get them the resources to help with that so they can use their money for what they need.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And this is one of those services. It's not 911,
mm-mm.
but it is an emergency service. So if you have things you need help with or direction on, you can call 211
yep.
and instantly be connected 24/7 with somebody that will help get you the resources that you're looking for.
Yeah. And what you qualify for.
Yeah.
Right? A conversation. Yeah. Let's talk about your situation. What do you qualify for? Tell us more about what you're experiencing. Let's prioritize, and then let's get you to what's close and you can access and what you're eligible for.
Yeah, it's not just government services. This is charities
no.
and
mm-hmm.
different organizations that help.
Yes. Yes. Tons
so
of different.
It's better than going to one resource when you've got somebody who has access to all the resources.
Yeah. I would say that it's, I sometimes like to think of us as a problem-solving service, right? It's free, and it's a problem-solving service, right? And it's a place to start when you don't know where to start,
mm-hmm.
right? And what do I do now? Let's have a conversation. Let's see what's possible.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to show my age here, but I think of it kind of like the Yellow Pages in the old days when you'd flip through the telephone book and go to the back, and you're looking for restaurants that list all the restaurants,
yeah.
you know. Going to 211 mm-hmm. is kind of your Yellow Page resource that says, okay, here's what we can help with.
Yep.
After that conversation.
I'm just laughing because when we first started doing information referral, I have people that I work with that started in using a Rolodex. Like putting
yes.
all of those files, like now we have it in a database and it's all in a cloud and stuff. But
some of us.
Yeah. So, but I've had to explain to some of the people on my team, they're like, what's a Rolodex? And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. yeah. We show
they're
our
too
age
young.
When we get talking, don't we?
yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Thumb Cares right after this.
Go Good morning. High pressure will be the dominant weather feature through the next 72 hours out ahead of our next approaching weak front, which will bring a little bit of cloudiness as we look forward to Friday afternoon. Otherwise, dry weather expected through the end of the week. Bright and beautiful today in the sunshine, upper 50s, northerly winds at 5 to 15, chance of rainfall 0. Clear, mid-30s tonight, light north to northeast winds, chance of rain 0. Sunshine, upper 50s tomorrow, light southeast winds, chance of precipitation remains near 0. Clear tomorrow night, middle to upper 30s, partly sunny on Friday, mid-60s. From WLEW Precision Weather Service, this is meteorologist Russ Murley.
Looking to save big at your favorite local businesses? ThumbNet has you covered. Check out our exclusive coupon deals featuring amazing discounts from Pigeon and Elkton One Stop, Ace Hardware of Bad Axe, Seaboeing Ace Hardware, Brown's Marketplace of Harbor Beach, Deckerville, and Sandusky, Caseville Family Market, and Ashley Home Store of Bad Axe. Whether you're craving a meal, shopping for gifts, or needing a service, you'll find incredible savings on ThumbNet.net. Visit ThumbNet.net today and start saving. ThumbNet.net, your connection to local savings.
October is the month to focus on automotive maintenance so your vehicle is ready for the cold months ahead. This car tip is brought to you by Huron Auto Parts, your auto value dealer located a block south of the main light in BedEx.
Here's 10 steps for a well-maintained vehicle this winter. Check all fluids, including engine oil, power steering, brake, and transmission, as well as windshield washer solvent and antifreeze coolant. Check hoses and belts to make sure they're not cracked, brittle, frayed, or loose, or showing signs of excessive wear. Number three, check the battery and replace if necessary. Make sure the connection is clean, tight, and corrosion-free. Number four, check the brake system annually and have the brake linings, rotors, and drums inspected at least each oil change. Number five, inspect the exhaust system for leaks, damage, and broken supports or hangers. Exhaust leaks can be dangerous and must be corrected without delay. Number six, check the engine to make sure it's delivering the best balance of power and fuel economy and producing the lowest level of emissions. Number seven, check the heating, ventilating, and air conditioning HVAC system, which is critical for interior comfort and safety reasons, such as defrosting. Number eight, inspect the steering and suspension system annually, including shock absorbers, struts, and chassis parts such as ball joints, tie rods, and other related components. Number 9, check the tires, including tire pressure and tread. Number 10, check the wipers and lighting so that you can see and be seen.
This is Rick Kasiba from Huron Auto Parts and Bad Axe. I've been turning wrenches and finding the right parts since I was a teenager. Back then, it was about fixing whatever I could get my hands on. Today, it's about helping you keep your car, truck, or tractor running the way it should. When you walk into Huron Auto Parts, you're not just getting a counter and a catalog. You're getting someone who knows what it's like to be in your shoes, trying to get the job done right. I spent a lifetime learning what works and what doesn't. And my team and I bring that experience to every customer who comes through our doors. Whether you're a weekend do-it-yourselfer or keeping a whole fleet on the road, we'll make sure you leave with the right parts the first time. Because to me, it's not just about selling parts, it's about earning trust. We're Huron Auto Parts, located just one block south of the main light in Bad Axe. Service is a difference, we get it.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, whose house is the nicest on the block of the mall?
Not yours.
What do you mean?
Your siding is faded, your gutters are falling off, and you have shingles missing. I suggest you call Bresky Siding and Building Repair.
I'm going to call Bresky Siding and Building Repair right now. Mirror, mirror on the wall, now whose house is the nicest of the mall?
Yours is, kind sir. Yours is.
Call me, Derek Bresky, at Bresky Siding and Building Repair today to make your house look like the nicest of them all.
Call my dad, 989-529-8167.
And we're back with the What Do You Think program. And I've got Kiara here from Thumb Cares, and we've been talking about different resources and how to access them and that. And during our break, I was mentioning my son lives in Illinois, and I said it's a shame, you know, because he needs help, and it would be great if they had something like that there. And she said 211's actually nationwide.
It is, and actually in Canada.
And in Canada as well. Our neighbors.
So we're closer actually to Canada right now than Illinois. So
absolutely.
Then we are there. Yeah, so it actually is nationwide. I mentioned that I just moved here. I actually moved here from Utah.
Okay.
Where I had a similar role with 2-1-1. So, yeah. And actually, in some ways similar, because in Michigan, there's a very urban spot, right? Like the South is, there's a lot of condensed individual, you know, a lot of people in a smaller space, and all the and the resources are more frequent, right? Because of the density of the population. And it was very similar in Utah, like around the Salt Lake City area, as you come along what they call the Wasatch Front, about 3/4 of the entire population of Utah lives right there in about a 50-mile radius. And so there's a lot of resources there. But then as you get out towards some of these other areas, like, you know, where the national parks are, and there's just less resources because there's less people.
Well, and you don't hear about those as much because they focus on big areas.
Yep.
Because it's easy.
Yeah.
But the people who are really struggling that don't know about these resources are out in communities like ours.
Yeah.
And it's awesome that there's a program out there willing to help people find stuff.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, I often will tell people I have a master's degree in human services, and it's, the idea behind the master's degree was to be able to navigate the human services system, but oh heavens, right? It just, I mean, even now as we're seeing cuts in funding and, you know, changes in the way that services are delivered and accessibility to income, it's, we're seeing programs that are shutting down, programs that are cutting back. And so we have to be aware of that, so we help people know how to navigate. I think I want to share with you first of all, let's talk a little bit about that shutting down piece.
Mm-hmm.
We do have protocol in place for the government shutdown. Right. So we know that we haven't seen too much effect yet. But if the shutdown continues for a long time, we may see some effects on the way that people are able to access their services, or if they get Social Security or, you know, disability payments. Or fortunately, we saw that the state government did pass their budget, but they passed a budget based on unsurety from what they were going to get from
the federal government.
So they pulled way back too, which is where we're seeing some of those consequences. But you know, there's a lot of services people don't realize are funded from federal dollars, at least in part, or through a pass through to the states. So like the Head Start programs, a lot of the housing programs are federal pass throughs, you know. So as things go, we will keep on top of that. We have people at the state, we have, you know, contact with different legislators that help keep us ahead of that curve. So if things become more complicated, we can help with that. So people can reach out and say, is this going to be affected?
You know, I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah.
And what a great time to be here talking about this, because it is a resource for people that Social Security and things like that.
Yeah.
That may need that.
Yeah. I mean, and we know that probably, you know, if you miss a Social Security payment or something like that, that you'll get that money back, right? Like if it's not paid, you'll get it, but you won't have it
right
now when you need it. Absolutely. So give us a call. Let's figure out what's out there. And we function really quickly. So this wasn't an example that happened here, but happened recently, not far from here, and that I feel like a lot of the people listening could equate to, is the ice storms that hit northern Michigan earlier this year in the first 2 weeks of April. We were key responders to that situation. So the governor put out there, everybody call 211. They're going to help you figure out what's going on and where to go. And so we were in real time, like checking resources. So like we'd get a caller that said, hey, I heard that this church is open as a shelter. Well, we don't just take that for granted. My database team made a phone call. They got a hold of somebody who could verify that that information was true, right? And we were doing it in real time as that was happening. And just to give you an example, from the 8 counties that we cover in northern Michigan that were deeply affected by that, last year during the first 2 weeks of April, we took about 200 calls. This year we took 2,000.
Wow.
In those same 2 weeks. So that's another space that we step into, right? When there is urgency, when there is disaster, when there needs to be centralized communication. We did it for COVID. We talked a little bit about, you know, I'm from Midland. This was before my time, but during the Midland floods. when the two dams broke, and then the previous to that, you know, that was, from what I hear people on my team that were still, that were here at that time, they were like, that was a nightmare. Let's never do that again. Because it was COVID dams.
Yeah,
it's like all of it just like whoosh at once. And it was awful, right? It was just really a lot. So, but we definitely step into that space of when there's a lot going on and we need to centralize those resources so people know where to go. And also we keep track of like what we're hearing. So like during the ice storms in the north, we would reach out to the emergency management team, Michigan State Police, and say, hey, we've heard a lot of people call and say that this is true. So like, for example, we heard that someone said that the National Guard was calling. And because the National Guard had been sent in to kind of help with some of the cleanup and stuff like that, well, the National Guard was indeed not calling people, right? That's not part of their protocol. They would have gone door to door. They would have talked to people. And so we were able to find out that that wasn't true and then disperse that as fraud, right? So we also play that role where we have our ear to the community. We're able to find out what people are hearing as rumor and then dispel that rumor, and then get real answers from the people who are responding, you know, what is possible.
Wow, that is interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more I think about it, it's not just government programs.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, a lot of the community resources and outreaches and things that are out there
mm-hmm.
are things you're going to be relying on if it yep. keeps going.
Yes.
So what a great resource 211 is.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact they do have the online chat at thumbcares.org.
Yes. We try to make it successful.
On there, look, it was right there.
Yeah, it just pops up right at the bottom.
It popped up. And I didn't need it. I was just looking for information.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was cool that it was right there readily available.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like I want to tell you part of the reason that I got into this is I actually, my story is a windy story. Most people do have windy stories. But I was actually widowed when I was 30 with my four kids. And at the time, they were 10. 5, 3, and 1.
Uh-huh.
And I think I just told you my youngest is 21 now. So it was a while ago. And we had put all of our efforts. I got married really young and I was 19 and, you know, and we'd put all our efforts into getting my husband through school to try to make him the primary provider. And then 2 months before he was supposed to graduate, actually, he came home from school not feeling well. And then he died the next day. You know, it's like everything changes in that moment. But I, at the time where I lived in Ohio, they didn't have 211, right? It wasn't a thing that was there. They did not have that service, that centralized resource. So I had to figure it out, right? So I figured out how to sustain my family while I went back to school. And so, like, we used all of those resources that we refer to that are pretty consistent across states. Like, we had Medicaid and we had food stamps and, you know, we used HEAP programs. And there was probably a few times I used rent payment assistance, you know, because I was just trying to figure it out.
Right.
Now, to be fair, my rent was like $500 a month. But,
yeah.
Oh, the good old days. In a farm in the middle of nowhere in Ohio. But, you know, I was using those resources to stabilize my family so mm-hmm. that I could focus on school. And then I taught piano lessons to kind of bring in additional income. And so when it came time for me to find a career, I didn't know about 211 at the time. But when I discovered what it was, I felt like I had kind of found my home because I believe in the power of information.
Absolutely.
Right? It played out in my own life. I won't say that I used those resources once and then my life turned around. It took 6 years, right? It took 6 years to finish school. And it took, you know, with being a parent and trying to figure everything out, and it took 6 years. And then that changed the trajectory of my life, right? And so I do believe in the power that information can have to give us kind of that foundation of what we need in order to create a new direction.
I was going to say, little did you know.
Little did I know.
Through a bad situation, you ended up turning it around.
Yeah.
and you're able to help people in that similar situation.
Yes. So I have a lot of empathy for people in that situation. I actually think quite a few of our callers are single parents. It's harder when you're doing it by yourself.
Yes,
like, for example, during the ice storm, we had a lot of single parents that called because they were working hourly jobs at McDonald's, and McDonald's didn't have any electricity for 2 weeks, and so they couldn't go to work. And so they didn't have money to buy food. They didn't have money to pay rent. And then sometimes the schools opened before the job did. And so they had to stay home because they had no childcare, right? They didn't have anywhere they could send their six-year-old so they could go back to work. And so those were the types of calls that we were taking during that time. So, so it really is. So I have a lot of empathy for that. I think I also want to make sure that people know that we do have a role in crisis. I mean, we talked about disaster and urgency, but I think about a story that actually just happened last month where we had a man that called. He was distraught and he had decided, thank goodness, to call 211, that number. And the person on the other end of the phone, we work really hard to make sure that people feel safe and they feel heard and they feel welcome, right? Like, it should feel like walking into a warm hug. And he was able to disclose to her that he was thinking about jumping off the Zilwaukee Bridge and that he had plans to do that. And she de-escalated the situation and she said, I'm going to transfer you to 988, which is a suicide crisis line, but they have deeper training in this type of thing. Well, we're not quite sure what happened, whether the call disconnected or whether he got there and didn't feel as comfortable or what happened, but he called back, still distraught, ended up with the same person, and it sounded like he had not changed his mind about ending his life. And so she reached out to her supervisor, and they went into what we call active rescue, and they called 911 in the area where he lived in Saginaw, and then the call got disconnected when help arrived, right? So we never knew, right? We're like combing the news to see, you know. So we have partnerships in that area that I reached out to, including like a suicide resource network and their executive director. And she was able to discover that on this exact call that the officers did indeed get there. They spent 45 minutes with him and they de-escalated him from feeling like the option he had was to end his life to getting him resources and making sure that he had a path forward. And she said, I just want to thank you for saving a life today.
Wow.
Right. So that doesn't happen often. That's only happened like 3 times since I've been here. But we have that training, right, to kind of address the spectrum of the human experience.
Yeah.
Right. Like we all really are in this together. Right. The hard things and the fun things and you know, we're here for all of it.
Yeah. I mean, we all share the same air.
Yep.
You know?
So true.
What an awesome story.
Yeah.
Well, our time's about up.
Oh, but I didn't even realize we've been talking this whole time. You're like, we got to fill like half an hour. And I'm like, doing what? And like, now we're here. And we're like, I'm like, oh my gosh, look at the time. I had no idea. So yeah,
we like to have fun and inform the public of things like this, especially.
Yeah.
That they'll find helpful. So if you're out there, make sure you call 211 or go online to thumbcares.org. They have an online chat.
Yep.
Multiple languages.
Yep.
Lots of resources.
Yep.
So whatever it is, reach out. I mean, if you don't, you're stuck with not knowing. And if you call, the worse you get to know, right?
Yeah. But I want to say we never send people away with just a flat no. We'll say, what can we do? We can't do that. So like people might call and say, I want someone to make my car payment. We're like, same. But we don't have that. But we can do this.
I was going to say, you may get no in one form.
Yeah.
But they'll see what they can do in other ways to help you or ways you haven't even thought of.
Mm-hmm.
So 100%. Reach out to them.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming today.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it was great. All right. We're going to get back to your regular programming, and we've got the 11 o'clock news coming up right after that.